Celebrating Shabbat. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does work on it, that soul should be cut off from among the people. Exodus 31, verse 14. For in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to your fathers or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this command I give them, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. Jeremiah 7, verse 22 and 23. Recently, a reader wrote to ask, how do you do it? Is there a template to use? How does a Christian keep the Sabbath and the feast? I feel somewhat useless in trying to keep anything. Not that I don't try, but it seems within just a few days I'm back to my old self. I am writing this to you to ask you how you do it. My answer was, out of love. My Father rescued me from a life of depravity and shame. More than once, and he didn't have to do it. He did it because he first loved me. I am so grateful for what he's done in my life that I simply want to give myself to him in whatever way he desires every day. Keeping his words are a joy to me because it allows me into the inner sanctum of his being. I have found the secret place of a relationship with the present presence under his wing, and with it the peace I was seeking for many, many years, even while as a Christian. I only thought I had found it. The truth is, like many embracing the religion, even though I tried hard to do and be what the leaders told me, I should be and try to convince myself it had to be working. The reality is, it just didn't work. Not really. After attending AA, I found that what inroads were made in my life was due more to self-will under the guise of religion than anything else. So I began to question everything, asking the Father to reveal himself to me, and he did, just like he said he would. Joy is found not only in God's gracious offer of deliverance, but also in his words that contain his promise of freedom, because both reveal his nature. The Hebrew perspective of joy is both the experience and the witness. As stated in a previous article, The Elevation, the challenge in finding truth lies in hearing the voice of Yahweh and being obedient to what he tells us today while using scripture as the standard measure what we hear in spirit as being truth or not. Not by dismissing his words as irrelevant as the religion of Christianity advances. The religion of Judaism adopts rabbinic interpretation to supply us with 39 prohibited actions they consider to be what is work, in the verse from Exodus above. But as Yeshua explained to the religious leaders of his day, traditional interpretation does not supersede what the words themselves actually say. In the article, The Sabbath, Yeshua answers to the Pharisees accusing his disciples in the cornfield of breaking the Sabbath, explains there is no restriction about eating on Shabbat, Hebrew for the Sabbath, only work. In fact, the only requisite assigned to Shabbat in scripture has to do with work. Everything else that has been attached to this day is the ritualization of someone's tradition. The rabbinical precepts of the religion Judaism, for instance, have expanded what work means to include many activities that are not listed in scripture. Rabbinic thought develops no difference between common ideas of work and the Hebrew idea of melacha, translated as work, found in Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11. Work is commonly thought of as expended effort. In the rabbinical interpretation of scripture, therefore, it is considered work to get out of bed, to shower, to mow the lawn, or to enter data in a computer. But melacha is not exactly about effort. The only definition given to this Hebrew word is that of a commercial nature. It is about the application of skilled craftsmanship and the resulting commercial benefits. The word is used to cover specific projects and routine work concerning one's business because these tasks are creative, and on the seventh day, Yahweh rested from his creativity. It also describes the result of the application of skills. Example, the work of Bezalel in the construction of the tabernacle. If we are to properly interpret scripture, we have to first ask ourselves, just what is the Sabbath for? Yeshua addressed that same question to the Pharisees of his day. The Sabbath is primarily a day of worship, a day of rest set apart, which is the definition of what it means to be holy, to become absorbed in relationship with Yahweh. For Yahweh's people, there is no more important day than Shabbat, because it is the link that identifies them with the Father. But never was it intended to be a day of strict rules and regulations. In Exodus 31, verse 14, included in the definition of this Hebrew word shamar, translated as the English keep, is to celebrate. To keep something is to celebrate it. How then do we celebrate Shabbat? We often think of a celebration as a party when, from a Hebrew perspective, it actually means to observe, to honor by guarding. Another Hebrew word translated celebrate, found in Isaiah 38, verse 18, is halal, which means to praise. We guard his words by observing them, by elevating them in praise. Christianity has incorporated contemporary culture in its religion by promoting praise music as worship, without realizing their action, in most cases, actually idolizes the music and the musicians instead of the Creator. Should we give praise to Yahweh? Absolutely. But words mean things, and Yeshua upheld the scriptural definition of worship as what activity we give ourselves to, what we serve. Matthew 4, verse 10, quoting Deuteronomy 11, verse 16. The manner by which we observe his words is indicative of our praise, our worship. Psalm 46, verse 10 tells us, "It is in knowing him that he becomes exalted in the earth, and that we become to know him by being still." Quiet, reflective meditation of his words is what brings us into the present presence, that he might speak to us of his nature, which is the source of life. Giving ourselves to loud exuberance is not conducive to creating a quiet environment from which to be able to hear his still, small voice. The words of scripture themselves do not contain the life, but rather validate whether what we hear in spirit is genuinely of the spirit of Yahweh or not. This is why we need the full counsel of all of his words, because to hear something in spirit that is not validated in his words is to make an idol of our own determination. We find that Yahweh actually wants us to hear his voice more than we want to hear him. But the only way that happens is to seek him with all of our might, with all of our being. Besides Yahweh's command to rest and worship on the Sabbath, there are several other statutes that regulate this day. But as stated earlier, eating is not one of them. One activity prohibited on the Sabbath is cooking, associated with the preparation of food. This is what Yahweh commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to Yahweh. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning. Exodus 16, verse 23. The process of preparing manna was quite involved in the Tanakh, Old Testament, and the manna was a coriander seed and the color thereof as the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. Numbers 11, verse 7 and 8. To avoid the work intensive process of preparing the manna, Yahweh commanded that the Israelites prepare twice the amount of manna on the sixth day. By doing so, they were free to worship Yahweh on the seventh. Even though we don't prepare manna and also enjoy modern work-saving conveniences, this statute should be an observation about preparing all cooked meals prior to the Sabbath. Foods can be reheated if necessary, but cooking or baking must be avoided since it takes our focus off of what the Sabbath is intended for. The prohibition on food preparation is somewhat more relaxed for the annual Sabbaths that occur at the beginning and end of feasts. Exodus 12, verse 16. Except the Day of Atonement, which calls for a fast. This is the difference between melacha, work, and avodah melacha, customary or servile work. Leviticus 23, verse 7. A second prohibition seemingly mentioned in Yahweh's Torah is the kindling of a fire. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to Yahweh. Whosoever does work therein shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitation upon the Sabbath day. Exodus 35, verse 2 and 3. The word seemingly is used because while the precise interpretation of this verse is debated among Bible scholars, simply looking at this passage in the context of the words surrounding it within the entire chapter points to the kindling of fire for work-related purposes. This understanding fits with the context of the 35th chapter and the smelting of the metals for the building of the tabernacle. Unique only to this passage, nowhere else in Scripture is fire connected to Sabbath observance, with the noted exception of atonement with fasting, and thus has not a second witness. A third Sabbath prohibition is to abstain from buying and selling on the weekly and annual Sabbaths. This is the commercial nature of melacha. When the neighboring peoples bring merchandise or grain to sell on the Sabbath, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or on any holy day. When the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin were released from Babylonian captivity by the Persians, the Israelites continued life as if they were still in Babylon. Consequently, under Nehemiah, the Israelites were instructed not to buy or sell on the Sabbath. Nehemiah, through Yehovah's inspiration, understood that the Sabbath was not a day of commerce, but a day of worship and fellowship. This same concept applies to our day and age. The Sabbath for Yahweh's people today continues to be a day of worship, fellowship, and escape from the world into His presence. A person cannot observe the Sabbath and still participate in the world and its activities because the world has no regard for this day and will continue to pollute it. A question that consistently arises after making this statement is, but my job requires that I work on Saturdays. What do I do about that? The answer Yeshua gives to this question is found in Luke 16, verse 13. The Father knows what I have need of. If I'm endeavoring to serve Him with my whole being, He will make a way for me where there seems to be no way. Whether it be in the softening of the heart of my employer or even another way of provision, Yahweh remains faithful to those who are faithful to His words. The requisites are given by Yahweh and serve to protect, to guard the purity and the separateness of the Sabbath. Besides abstaining from work, the Sabbath is also a day of sober and unadulterated thought. The Sabbath is a time to be spent focused on Yahweh and not a time to discuss the commonplace. This is a day set apart to study and learn Yahweh's word. If Yahweh commands that a person refrain from commerce, pleasures, and work on the Sabbath, it follows that conversations involving these things should also be avoided. Our actions, thoughts, and talk on the Sabbath should be in some fashion reflect Yahweh and honor Him, which brings us to prayer. Just as how praise and worship have become confused with religious cultural idolatry, similarly, are most Christians confused about prayer? How often have you heard the mantra, prayer changes things, and that with enough prayer you will get what you want? While Matthew 11, verse 12 is often quoted as justification for these actions, the prevalent faith teaching rampant in Christianity today has its adherents engaging in sorcery awareness. Jesenius's lexicon to the Old Testament scriptures defines the Hebrew word chasap, translated sorcerers, in Exodus 7, verse 11, as those who practice sorcery, those offering prayers or worship using enchantment, primarily in songs or mutterings. Sorcery is the exercise of our will over others and things to bring about results that are satisfactory to our desires. Calling that activity prayer to Yahweh, even if it may seem to be good, is a perversion of Yahweh's words. That there is real power in the spiritual realm is not the issue. The sorcerers of Pharaoh's court were able to reproduce the same miracles Yahweh gave to Moses. The issue is how we use that power, for our personal benefit or for the furtherance of the purposes of Yahweh. The nature of Yahweh contained in His words are given as an instruction to keep us out of darkness. So then, let us contrast this understanding with the Hebraic perspective on prayer. They encircle me with words of hate and attack me without cause. In return for my love, they accuse me, but I am prayer. Psalm 109, verse 3 and 4. Reviewing this verse in a variety of English Bibles will show that they all add words and thoughts that are not found in the actual text. This is done to accommodate our religious concepts of prayer as the way to get God to move on our behalf. But David is saying something else here. He says he is prayer. How can that be? Most think of prayer as an activity that we do or do not engage in. Such an activity is considered as independent of who we are. We do not think of ourselves as prayer. The translators of this verse have adopted the view that prayer is one thing and I am another thing, and that there can be some non-essential connection between these two things. But that is not the Hebraic view. For David, unless he is prayer, evil will prevail in his circumstances. So how do we become prayer? To put aside my truncated understanding and become something I am not requires a paradigm shift in my approach to spirit. It requires me to experience the personality of Yahweh in a conversation that does not know the difference between subject and object. It requires me to wait upon Him, which is the most excellent form of worship we can offer. It requires me to know Him for who He says He is, not who I want Him to be. There are three rungs to this ladder of holding fast to Yahweh in worship. The third best is to talk about prayer. The second best is to pray. But the best is to be prayer. This is what it means to love Him with all of my being. The peace of belonging I have today comes from keeping the words of the source of life, and there is no question about its reality. Others may question it, but I don't. My manner of life has become my prayer offered to Yahweh as a fragrant sacrifice. 1 John 5, verse 3 tells us that keeping His words are not burdensome to do. I have found that to be true. There is no template except the one found in Exodus 20, verse 1 through 17. It is difficult for Christians to find this place unless they abandon that religion, not the words of the Son, but the religious precepts built up around Him. Why? Because Christianity denies the validity of Yahweh's words, even though the one they profess to follow clearly states that He did not come to abolish them in Matthew 5, verses 17 through 21. From the verse in Exodus at the beginning of this article, those who refuse to keep Shabbat are cut off from being included in His family. Anything separate from the source of life is death. Neither Yeshua nor His disciples ever attempted to establish a new religion. You will not find that in any of their words. That concept was not introduced until 200 years after the resurrection by men who had a clear alternative agenda and after all the original disciples were out of the picture. Revelation 19 verse 10 tells us that prophecy, the spoken oracles of Yahweh, is the testimony of the life found in Yeshua. His life and His words are the benchmark by which everything is measured, including other scripture by other authors. And He said His words were not His, but those of His Father, Yahweh. Christians love to quote Psalm 37, verse 4, out of the Hebraic perspective the words were written in, because their desire is focused on themselves without realizing the Hebrew word translated as delight, anag, is the same word used in Isaiah 58 below, describing how we delight in Yahweh. This is how we honor him. This is how we worship him. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of Yahweh, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, talking idly, then you shall take delight in Yahweh, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14.